Okay, and she read something about obsessive compulsive and came in saying, I'm obsessive compulsive. She was not obsessive compulsive. She is not. Passive aggressive is by inaction, making other people mad, and being aggressive through not doing anything, sitting like a lump. Some of these kids in the mind control experiments, I have two that were dropped at the age of 6 or 7, and the reason was because they became very passive aggressive. They still have the problems, some, a lot of the problems, because they did a lot to shut them down. But basically, the best, what do you think the best way of fighting them, not the best, there are lots of ways, but one way of fighting them is to comply, but not really. Okay? I have one client that pretended she was stupid. I don't understand what you want me to do. And no matter what they did to her, she never understood what they wanted her to do. Ways of fighting, but that's passive-aggressive behaviors. Again, this is survival sometimes for mind control survivors. Eating disorders are very common, anorexia, not eating, bulimia, throwing up. And as part of the mind control, they actually deliberately tried to induce eating disorders, okay? And I have clients on both ends, both anorexic and overeating, and really messed with that. Post-traumatic stress disorder, again, intrusive thoughts, flashbacks, just the stress where the trauma keeps intruding on the current life. Dissociative disorders, and there's a whole continuum of dissociative disorders. From post-traumatic stress disorder, where you can just kind of go numb for an event or something that's happening, to what's called NOS or DD, dissociative disorder not otherwise specified. And there's a continuum here too that I'm seeing, and that is there are people that have like ego states or feelings that they split because they couldn't feel the feelings when they were being abused. But there are also people who have altered systems who are not quite as fully developed as someone with full-blown DID. Okay? And what you have are the parts inside may have names, but they don't take over the body in the same way. The core birth personality is co-conscious. And what the parts do is blend. Okay? Because parts can blend. And that's a lot of what we see in terms of behavior, is parts blending that have jobs. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But a lot of the clients I see with mind control are not full-blown DID, dissociative identity disorder. Some of them are what we have been calling fuzzy DID, because it's not real clear and it's hard. It's not discrete states that actually, however they do, they're more fragments holding memories and feelings. Now I'm going to talk to you really quickly about DID, and I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going to go through all this, but I'm just going to tell you how I understand DID, because if you're working with mind control or DDNOS, this is what my clients have told me. This is what I've heard. And I've talked to some of the survivors here, and they tell me that I really understand. So I'm going to pass this on. First of all, you have the core birth personality. Core birth personality is generally the part that is the age of the body. It is the part that, if all the parts were to integrate, that's who they would integrate with. The core birth personality is not that baby inside who did not develop. Okay? It is actually the one that is the age of the body. It is really important that you know who the core birth personality is in a DID system, because that's who you have to work through. That's who has to get the memories back. That's who has to construct a safe place and do the work, because if the core birth personality doesn't do it, it won't stick. And why is that? The reason is because all of the alters or the parts or the kids in the system were created by the core birth personality. Kids do not, or parts do not, create parts. The core birth personality creates every single part, and they are created to have a job. Their primary job is to protect the core birth personality, to allow that core birth personality to grow and develop and be able to function while they take the pain, or the trauma or the feelings or whatever. So the core birth personality is really the central part of the system. Now, if you have the concept that every part has a job, and they do, that means there are no perpetrator alters. And this is so important. What happens is, even if an alter comes out and cuts, they think they're doing their job and protecting the core birth personality, no matter what the behavior. The answer to them is, you did a wonderful job. Too good a job, but a wonderful job. Now, you can have, you finished that job, you've done it so well, you don't have to do it anymore. And now you can have another job, and they will take new jobs. It's a reframe, but it works. And this you can get through. Sometimes I do get upset, because what I try to do is get through the system, no hurting the body. I mean, we do talk a lot about that. But if you conceive of it as a job, then you can praise them, you can give them A pluses, and they can graduate to the next grade or graduate to the next level. And this really, really works. Also, it doesn't matter what behaviors they're doing. Now, in mind, this is any DID system. In mind control, the researchers knew about these parts and gave them jobs. And so the jobs they were given were things like calling them, keeping in contact for later. They also had jobs to carry out whatever their job was, if it was a sexual job or a courier or an assassin. But they were taught and given specific jobs. Okay? So, again, it's the same response. You've done such a good job. And what you find is they're really willing. A lot of times they're really relieved. Sometimes you have parts that mimic perpetrators. There are a lot of Dr. Green parts. They are so relieved. How do you get them convinced that they're not the real perpetrator? All I do is say, think back, and what position are you in? Are you being hurt or are you hurting? And they think about it, and all of a sudden you get crying, I'm being hurt. Then you can't be this person. You can't be the perpetrator. And it's a really quick way of turning somebody, and then they take another name and go inside or go to the safe place or whatever. So these are the concepts that I work with that have been really, really useful for me. And they also work with regular DID clients. But I think it's real important for you to understand. You can put that next. Okay, safety and containment, or safety and stabilization. This is the majority of the treatment. Again, working on establishing a therapeutic relationship. With DID, you have to continuously establish a therapeutic relationship as you get different parts of the system. Now, developing an internal safe place. This is really important, and this is a central piece of containment for mind control and also for DID and severely abused people. Basically, we'll start with talking about a safe place. What do you do if someone says there is no safe place? My answer to that is, oh, come on, there's a secret place inside that nobody knows about and nobody can get to. That's the place I'm talking about. And you get this little grin, and it's like, yeah, you're right. So it doesn't, if the word safe, because sometimes they're told there's no safe place, you can say secret place. There are certain elements that need to be in the secret place. It needs to be inaccessible by anybody, including me. It needs to be, and what I do is give sort of suggestions of elements. Find out what's there. Find out what makes it safe. Where it is, I mean, you know, basically is it mountains or clouds or whatever. If they don't have one, I'll ask them where they want. But they need to clear where, even if they haven't already established safe place, because a lot of people do, is you have to clear a football-sized field around. And then I ask them to put walls of water light around the outside. Water light that nobody can get through and makes it invisible. And the reason why you want the football clear field is so you can see if anybody's coming. What also you want, and now not everybody does this, I'm just giving you the elements that have been useful to people. Then you want to construct a building or something, shelter of some kind in the center. And in the shelter, there needs to be a swimming pool or a healing pool. And for some people, they want it partly in the house and partly outside. This is incredibly important for mind control. And the reason it is because, did you know that water dissolves the crap off their bodies? And I said that to one of my clients, and she said, oh, that's why they didn't want us to cry. And so I use that now, and I say, and it's true, water will wash off and dissolve, because it did. If there are electrodes and there's gunk put on you, what did they wash it off with? Water. So water washes the stuff off. There's an association there. Okay? The other thing it would be useful for some people is to have microwaves. If you have some of these mechanical things, the robots. Actually, what they did is they took kids and packed them inside these big things that look like robots, and put them inside, and then did all kinds of stuff to create parts, or make the core create parts. They don't create parts, the core does. And then what you do is, if you encounter one of those contrivances, you can disable it with microwaves. You can also, there's a switch on it somewhere, turn off the switch, take off its head, get all the kids out of there. Get all the kids out of there. They'll show up in the safe place sometimes. So you also want to have a nursery for the very little ones with cribs. You want to have food, you want to have toys, and you want to have an infirmary, because there are going to be kids that you're going to be uncovering that are absolutely wrecked, that need to be healed. And so they need to have a place. And you have helper altars inside. And I'm sorry, I'm going to use the word altars, or, you know, I know some people don't like that. But they have helper altars inside that help and take care of the kids as they come up. No doctors and nurses. Okay, it's important. Or unless they want them. One of my clients has Beverly Crusher in her tricorder. It's an interject. Okay? Because who comes and runs the tricorder over everybody and heals everybody. So they can also produce interjects that they know are not, but it's part of the imagery, because they're very, very good at imaging. Grounding techniques basically are based on changing the senses. One of the most effective ones is changing the sense of smell, carrying something with a little perfume that's soothing, or the sense of touch. All my life I have had this sense in my fingers that I think about. It's silky and bumpy. And I never knew what that was. And I always think about it when I'm in periods of stress. I feel it in my fingers. It's a body memory. And then when my son was born 20 years ago, and I got his baby blanket, it's a chenille baby blanket. And I didn't remember what that was. But to get them connected to some kind of touch that is soothing. To change, if they start to go into flashback, to change the senses. It's really important. Another thing, one of my clients was at the doctor's office and started to go into flashback, and asked them, they were running around trying to get her ice. Because if you put ice in your hands, it hurts. And it's kind of like cutting, but it doesn't do any damage. But it's a change of senses. That's why people cut. Because you can focus on the pain, and it gets you away from the emotional pain. So ice will do that, and it's a safe way, and it's can be an intermediate step to get people away from self-mutilating and self-cutting. So you want to develop self-soothing techniques, bubble baths, things that, favorite blanket, stuffed animals. A lot of people have stuffed animals and feel real ashamed about it. I have a chair of stuffed animals. And when I go out of town, they become transitional objects sometimes. People take them home. And it's really good. And then people bring me, as parts integrate, they add to my collection, because the parts donate their stuffed animals to me as they integrate. And they know that they're going to have a good home. The purpose and function of self-destructive thoughts and behaviors, there is a purpose to that. As I said, there are lots of reasons why people do that, and you need to find out why. Always why. What is the purpose of this behavior? What is the function? Now, with mind control, if it's messages, and you know it's messages if they're being flooded and they're based on post-hypnotic suggestions or conditioned responses, what I will do with that kind of thing is, I want to cut, you don't have to cut. And I just repeat it. I have to die, you don't have to die, you don't have to die. It may come up during memory work, or just may come up consciously. Another part of this is that if they're lambasting you and into this ticket of therapist programming or alienation from others programming, people are bad, this is the bad, that's wrong, whatever, I'll sit there and I'll go, and what else? And what else? And what else? And it drives people nuts sometimes. However, it gets you through quickly. It isn't worth interpreting. It isn't worth spending time on. They'll let you know. So you say, and what else? Well, you know, little kids, a lot of times, they just want to tell you something. They don't want you to solve it or discuss it at length, right? I mean, I've had one child, and he would just come in, Mommy, Mommy, crying, whatever. He'd tell me, and then he'd be fine, and he'd go out. It's the same thing. So the and what else is a really helpful thing of getting through a lot of messages quickly. Decreasing and stopping self-destructive thoughts and behaviors. I have used contracting with this sometimes in terms of, and it's the core birth personality's responsibility, because one of the things that I know is that if the core birth personality does not want something to happen, it will not happen. There is an implicit permission given, and I've talked to a lot of systems about this and a lot of kids. And for example, if someone cancels appointments and the kids bring her to therapy, okay, it's because she wants to be brought. I have a couple clients that do that, and they always come, okay? But once or twice they have absolutely said, I can't do that, she really doesn't want to come. It's given me the clue. They do subconsciously what she wants. So the core birth personality really does determine. And so I contract with the core birth personality and with as many people as possible. But it's so, the systems are so complex, it's really hard to do that. But it really is the core birth personality responsibility, and that's another concept that's real hard. She is responsible for her own safety, her own behavior, and whether she dies or not. I've learned this through hard experience, I can tell you. And I find by taking that stance, yes, they'll fight you on it, but they know it's right. I can't keep people alive. It will kill me with all the phone calls and the hours and the panic and all the rest of it. I just can't, it's not within my power. And so that's another concept of making them responsible. Or taking the real responsibility. Because if they know they're responsible, that's part of beginning to make choices. Because when you think of mind control, everything was controlled, including their lives and the fact if they stayed alive or they died. So by saying, you are in charge of this now, it's a really liberating kind of thing. It really is. I also form a lot of hypotheses. I'm always asking questions. Because, again, I have to get the information from the person sitting in front of me. I don't know. So I ask a ton of questions. What is that related to? What is going on? What's the purpose of this? What's the function of this? I hear a set of symptoms. Okay, what's going on? Who's blending? If the core birth personality comes in and is on all this body pain, I know someone in the system's blending. Who's blending? And what you want to teach is that they can step back. This is a containment strategy. They need to learn to step back. They don't have to blend with the core birth personality. Now, for some people, what you can do is have the core birth personality go into the safe place in a room surrounded by light, where nobody can blend with her. Not everybody can do that. But that is one way of containing that. And let me just say a little bit about the switching place. Did you know there's a switching place in the head? That every DID person, DDNOS, has a place where they switch. And the switching place is the place where if the core birth personality is out in the body and an altar stands beside her and or him and starts to blend, that's the switching place. It's an actual place. The researchers messed with this big time. You will find bugs in there, little bugs running around on the floor. Now, we know what they were meant to be, listening devices. So you need a bug stomper or someone to get rid of those. Yeah. The switching place? Okay. How you find the switching place is you have the core birth personality come out into the body and an altar stand either behind or beside her and start to blend. Where the blending takes place is the switching place. In the switching place are cameras, bugs, torture devices, all kinds of stuff. They can clean it out. You need a bug stomper because they have little bugs running around because little kids hear bugs and that's what they thought of. And so you get cobwebs, Satan, whatever, skeletons, whatever. They need to clean that out thoroughly and keep it cleaned out, yeah.
Why are those bugs in there? What is their purpose for cleaning?
Well, listening devices. They just called them bugs, but the kids interpreted it as real bugs instead of listening devices.
Okay, but don't they want the switching?
Oh, this is stuff that was suggested by the researchers that was in the switching place. The researchers doing the mind control suggested to the kids there are listening devices, there are bugs, there are cameras, there are skeletons, there are this in your... So they knew about the switching place. Oh, it's an actual room inside.
To keep people merging.
To keep... No, to keep things dysfunctional, to keep them scared, to keep them dysfunctional, and also to make the core birth personality stay away, so that's always alters relating with the world, and also to make people sick. The other thing, in the switching place, okay, there are also lots of holes in the floor, and there are holes in it, and where the holes go to is where the alters stay. The alters stay in a place, and I guess we're calling it a matrix. And basically, they started at the age of 3 with a very simple matrix, and the simplest one is a tic-tac-toe, three-dimensional block. And in each of those spaces resides an alter or alter system. And what they would do is each alter was given a number and a name or a letter, okay? And given a designated place where they had to stay in their rooms. They couldn't talk to each other, they couldn't communicate with anybody, and they had to stay in their rooms. All right? And it started like that. Now, there are more complicated ones, and I'll talk about those. But, so you have this three-dimensional thing. That's where the alters come from. Within, and then when they started with a simple one at about the age of 3, by about the age of 12 or 14, it was much more complex. We find Kabbalas, the Kabbalistic tree, which is the triangle with the lines with the circles, okay, you know, that connects. And that was an early one, but it was too complicated. There's people that have it, but their altars in the lines and in the circles, that's where they live or where they stay. There are decahedrons, which are like giant crystals in each facet. There are, one of my clients has one that's just a scrambled mess like spaghetti. And they suggested to her that it was like spaghetti. You find upside down triangles. You find all kinds of shapes. How they put that in is they would project an image on the screen like this. And then they would put electrodes on the face where they wanted them to think it was. And move the screen closer and closer and closer while increasing the pain, until it disappeared into the head. And that's how they convinced the kids that they had this place inside of them. Now, they changed it. Kids changed it. And basically what they did was they were told, do not come out of your rooms, ever. And what would happen is the alters or the parts would be tortured or hurt or raped or whatever, and then they would, in the middle of that, would go inside to their place in the matrix. So that when they come out, guess what? They come out in the middle of a relive. Now, how do they do that? That's because, and I don't know how many of you have been around a long time, but you know those spirals that we used to see on SRA drawings? Those are elevators. They belong in the matrix. They're elevators. And they go directly into the switching place. So that what happens is somebody's triggered out inside, or they could call them out because they knew their number. And so what they would do is get on the elevator, spiral up into the switching place. Well, if they're in the switching place, they are right out into the body. So any of those connections, there'll be one, two, or three. You move away from the switching place into the safe place. They can move this around. Okay? So it's a tunnel, basically. So you move it. And what you do is you put a waterfall over it so they come out into water, which kind of cleans them up. And you have a kind of warning system so that the helpers, one of my clients put a computer there with a greeting. Greetings, welcome to so-and-so's system. And it gave time then for the helpers to get there. And then what they would do is, as the alters came out into the safe place, take off all the electrodes, whatever was on them, clean them off, get them into the pool, and then get them into the safe place. Okay, this is a really good containment strategy. But then you don't have people coming up in your face and out into the body doing destructive stuff or uncontrolled flashbacks. Another part of this is that you will find black holes that come up into the switching place. And again, if a black hole appears, and what a black hole really is that either an IV with a slow drip of medication that slowly made them unconscious, and they would fade away into nothingness, okay? And sometimes you get that effect where the core disappears or alters disappear. It's a memory of that. And what you do with black holes is you fill them in from the bottom. Just fill them in with dirt, cement, whatever. And make sure you get all the alters out, though, because you can't fill it in if there are any alters in. So you just pull all the alters out. It's happened to me in my office where someone has literally fallen on the floor being pulled into a black hole. And I just pick them up and pull them out, and it's just pulling you out, opening everything that needs to be opened up, pulling you out, pulling you out. You can do it on the phone, too, if someone's having trouble. Pulling you out, pulling you out, pulling you out until they're out. Or if you're talking to someone on the phone, they start to fade, they're likely going into a black hole. You fill it up and pull them out. And then that's real helpful. So that's the switching place. So that's a really important containment kind of, and this is something that's real different than what we have talked about. So that helps with the containment and pacing of flashbacks and memories. Another way that I do that is, basically, you can, and I do this initially with them in my office, but I give them their twice a day. In the morning, when people are in their showers, water pouring over them, they are to do an inventory, looking for kids that have come up during the night, cleaning themselves off, taking off any electrodes, anything, things out of their ears, and I'll literally go up to someone in my office. They'll be talking about the radio playing. Well, let's get that out of there. And I'll just put my hands like this and pull. Okay? Now, the reason that works is because at some point, whatever was in their ears got taken out. It fast forwards the memory to the end.
We've been listening to a presentation by Valerie Wolf on treating and assessing survivors of mind control. This is show number 16 in a radio series on mind control on the International Connection. And don't forget to tune in Monday nights at 10 p.m. If you've missed past shows, you can hear the rebroadcast of this series. You're listening to CKLN 88.1. Coming up next is Tejiendo Rebeldías.
finished up.